morning. Please turn with me to the book of Joel. Don't feel embarrassed about turning to the reference at the front of your Bible where it shows you what book is where. You can find it. But if you find the book of Daniel, Hosea, then you'll find the book of Joel. Daniel, Hosea. And then you'll come to Joel chapter 2. After Joel is Amos and Obadiah. But we're going to turn to the book of Joel here this morning. And I want to start a new series. Last week, Paul dealt with fire. This week, I want to deal with rain. But we're dealing with the same thing. And I want to continue with this. And Paul might come back in a few weeks' time and carry on with fire again. Just a powerful message last week. If you missed it, you must hear last week's message on this fire of God. A very important message for us even here as a church. And I want to begin this morning a series called The Latter Rain Covenant. The Latter Rain Covenant. It might sound strange, but I'm going to explain it to you. The Latter Rain Covenant. My message this morning is the former rain. I'm going to preach an entire sermon on the former rain. What it is, what it looks like. What happened in days past? The former rain. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, reading from verse 21. Fear not, O land. What a beautiful start. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Do you need to hear that this morning? Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And the people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord God has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let's lift our hands. Let's open our hearts. Let's just ask the Lord to meet with us in this gathering. I believe he's here to refresh us, to fill us, to renew us, to strengthen us. Do you need strengthening this morning? Do you need a meeting with the Lord? Do you need a visitation of the Spirit of God? Do you need the word of the Lord to touch your heart? Do you need God to save you this morning? Do you need baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire? I tell you, reach out to him, ask him to touch you. My God, minister to us of the reality of your hidden things. My God, send us the former and the latter rain. Nor, God, pour out a plenteous rain upon us in this church, O God, this week in the convention. My God, pour out rain on the dry ground. Nor, God, send floods to us, O God, in this corner of your vineyard. My God, come with great power. Nor, God, in days when you march through the land, when you shook the heavens, O God, nor, God, when you drove your enemies back, nor, God, will you do it again, O God. Will you revive us again as your church? And Lord God, in Jesus' name, my God and my Savior, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're coming to this message this morning, the former rain, the former rain. Our series here is the latter rain covenant. And I want to point out to you here as we begin this new series and this message that in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and this is after Moses came down from the mount the second time with the law given to him by the finger of God. The people of Israel had broken the law. They had built the calf. They had rebelled against God. And Moses took the first tablets and he broke them. And he had to ascend the hill again. And he come down with these new tablets of the law, or the commandments that marked the covenant with God. Now notice with me, that happens in Deuteronomy chapter 10. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to verses 21, we have the latter rain covenant, or a covenant given by God to his people Israel concerning the former and the latter rain. Now listen to me very carefully. We are dealing with a new series that God has made a covenant to send the former and the latter rain, not only to Israel, but to the church. And I'm going to begin to explain this. In Deuteronomy 11, God actually begins to reveal this latter rain covenant. And within this covenant, we have wonderful promises. Let me begin to explain what it says in Deuteronomy 11. It talks concerning certain things. You see, Israel were passing through the wilderness. They'd come to the end of their wilderness journey. They were about to enter the land of promise. And God has given them this covenant concerning the land of Canaan, the land of promise, and everything he is going to do in that land. Listen to what he actually says. He begins speaking to them in Deuteronomy 11, and he talks about the superiority of Canaan over Egypt. He begins to say, this land is greater than the land of Egypt. In Egypt, you had to pump water with your foot. You see, it didn't rain in Egypt. There was no heavenly rain in Egypt. The Holy Spirit wasn't poured out when you're in captivity in your sin. It never happened. There is a land of Canaan, a land of promise, a covenanted land that actually typifies our life in Christ, the victorious Christian life. It's talking about a certain way of living the Christian life. And not all Christians live this. Most do not. But here God is bringing Israel to the promised land. And he says, I'm giving you a covenant about the land. I'm going to speak to you. And he says, look, this land is far greater than Egypt. You remember how you used to pump with your foot to get water, to water the land. You're never going to have to do this again. Because in this new land, I am actually going to send you heavenly rain. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and send you rain. It's going to come from me. It's not a man. It's not by man's might. No man can manufacture it or create it. Secondly, he said it's a land desired by God himself. He said it's a land that drinketh in water of the rain of heaven. He would not water it if he did not love it. Notice that his blessing is on this land. He said this land soaks up the rain of heaven. And he loves this land. He's provided for this land. There's a certain place for you to live where God delights in, where he's going to send rain from heaven. He says, see, when you get to that place in your walk with God, since you may not be there this morning, but there is a land to live in. And if you ever get back to where God wants you, there is going to come rain. You're going to soak in the rain from heaven because God delights in you living right before him. But thirdly, he says, which the Lord cared for. He cares for that land. It actually says he watches over the land. His eyes are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. In other words, through every single season, God is watching this land. Remember, he's bringing them to the land. And he's watching this land. And he's saying, I'm caring for it. My eyes are always on this land. And I'm making sure it has rain at the right time in the right season. And I make sure I'll come to you at the right time before you despair, before you give up. I'm going to come as this rain to you. But notice with me, as he's, and I'm talking about the covenant that he's given to them concerning the land. Listen to what he says. There's a command in it. Love the Lord. See, when I put you in this land, love the Lord. There's a command. How do you love the Lord? He explains in Deuteronomy 11, keep my charge, keep my statutes, keep my judgments, and keep my commandments. How do you show you love the Lord? You keep his word. That's how you reveal that you love him. And he says, if you do this, you shall be strong, and you shall go in and possess the land. Saints, listen to me. I'm talking about there's a place for us to return to as the church of God that I believe we've left in this generation. We've lost our way in this generation. But God gives a command. Get back to the land again. Live in the right place. Live the right way. And I'm going to come and strengthen you again. And you will have victory. There's not only a command. There's a promise in Deuteronomy 11. Listen this carefully. This is the covenant. I will give you the rain of your land in his season. Notice in this covenant of law, in the Old Testament to Israel, God made a covenant and he said, when you're living in the land, I covenant with you to give you the rain in your due season. At the right season, at the right time, I'm going to send rain from heaven. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn in, and thy wine and thy oil. Notice that this covenant God makes with them to say, when you're in that land, I make a covenant. I'm going to send rain. That's one word. I'm going to send the former rain. That's the second type of rain. I'm going to send the latter rain. Three types of rain. He makes a covenant and he says, in every season, I'm going to send you certain type of rain at a certain season. That's the promise. This is the latter rain covenant, or the covenant given to Israel, a earthly people in an earthly nation in a specific place. God makes a covenant and he says, when you live there, I'm going to send you rain at the right time. I'll send you rain. I'll send you early rain. I'll send you latter rain. And it's all going to come in the right season. Why? That you bring in a great harvest. God actually made a covenant, but not only a command and a promise, there's a warning in verse 11. He says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. How do you stop being deceived? By the word of God. This word will stop you being deceived. He says, when you're in the land and I'm blessing you, be very careful that you do not become deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and you begin to worship them, because then my wrath is going to be stirred against you. And listen to what happens. He says, when my wrath is stirred towards you because you're going after other gods, after other Christs, other Holy Spirits, other Gospels, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut up the heaven that there is no rain, and then the land shall not yield her fruit, and she shall not bring forth a harvest. This is what has happened in our generation, at least in the Western world. I believe that in the Western world, the church has gone after other gods. She's in the church. She calls herself the church, but She has gone after other gods. And what has God done? He has shut the heaven saying, I'm not going to send you the early rain. I'm not going to send you the latter rain. I'm not going to send you rain in its right season. So here we are, the church in the West. We are at the season of the latter rain. We are at the time of rain. We are in desperate need of rain, but there is no rain. And if there's no rain, we're going to lose an entire harvest from an entire generation, from an entire nation. Saints, that's the consequence of not taking heed to the warning. You need to be in the land to receive the rain in his season at the right time. Now this covenant is prayed every single day in Jerusalem and in Israel by devout Jews. Listen to me. They actually pray every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Devout Jews do. They pray Deuteronomy 11. And they remind God, send the former rain. Send us the rain. Send us the latter rain. Real, genuine Jews living in Jerusalem are praying that today. Every day they pray for the rain. You know why? Their whole society depends on it. If the rain doesn't come, the nation is in trouble. They will not be able to survive. The rain in the right time, in answer to the prayer of God's people. You see, God is a covenant God. He's made a covenant to send rain to Israel and to the church. But saints, we better find out why revival isn't here. Why God isn't sending revival. I mean genuine revival. Real heaven sent revival. We need to find out why it isn't coming. I do believe in revival. I hope you realize that. I'm a revival man. At 5 years old, God spoke to me about a genuine revival that was going to come. And I want to preach to you here this morning something about this revival. In 1859, I want to tell you about revivals because I believe in revivals. In 1859, up in the north, in a small village called Kells, not far from Ballymena, we begin to read of God's preparations to send a revival that would change a nation overnight. I'm talking about revival. What is the rain? It's revival. What is the former rain? It's revival. What's the latter rain? It's revival. It's God coming with power. In about 1856, four new converts who God had just saved, they hadn't been Christians long, they're new converts, were used in the hand of God over a 2 year period to see a revival come in which 100,000 people were saved in 1 year, an entire generation were touched by the power of God. But what was it like before this revival? Let me tell you what it was like just a year before this revival. Reading the reports of preachers, they said there was little to encourage genuine believers in the entire nation. Most of the preachers said they had labored for years. They had preached, they had prayed, and yet there was very little results. In 15 years, you hardly seen one genuine, miraculous convert. There were preachers who had 600 people sit in their church on a Sunday morning, and yet they said nobody wants to get born again. Listen to what one said. He said, hitherto, our condition was deplorable. The congregation seems dead to God. Formal, cold, prayerless, worldly, stingy in religious things. Nothing happens. This preacher said, twice I tried a prayer meeting with my elders. He's trying to get the elders in the church to pray. And he said, both times I failed. After the fifth or the sixth attempt, trying to get these elders to pray, I gave up. It was useless. It was hopeless. They had no desire for God. He said, I prayed on. I preached. I fasted. I sought the Lord. I gave myself to the Lord. And he said, yet still no fruit, no outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, I read testimonies. I tried to encourage myself that God is going to send a revival. But no, there's not even a cloud the size of a man's hand. He says, I wondered and I was grieved at what seemed to be so mysterious. What alarmed me most was the indisposition, almost hostility of the people to meet in for prayers. I had almost lost hope. I almost gave up. Then revival came. Revival is a real thing. How did this revival came? It started in 1856. When the Lord saved a man called James McQuilkin. He had lots of head knowledge about the Bible. He went to church every week, but he was not saved, and he'd been like this for years. He didn't know anything of the power of God. But one day, he got born again. And we're told that within a short time, he started to witness to those around him. And the second person to get saved was Jeremiah Meanley. His good friend, he led him to the Lord. So now there's two of them. They began to witness and evangelize, and another two friends got born again. Now there's four new converts. Since everyone told them, God doesn't work in revival anymore. God doesn't do miracles anymore. In fact, people started to tell him to settle down or to calm down or don't begin to believe that God's going to change the nation. You'll only get disappointed. The older Christians began to tell him, God only sent one Pentecost, he'll never send another one. But these four young Christians began to meet in September 1857. These four new converts actually began to meet in the schoolhouse of Kells, a very small village. And during that winter, all four of them prayed, fasted. They would carry turf in one hand for the fire, and they would carry their Bible in the other hand. And every Friday evening they'd meet together in the schoolhouse, and they'd begin to pray and cry, Lord, revive us again. Send us a heaven-sent revival. Come and change our nation. But nothing happened. Only four of them in the schoolhouse every single week. And it went through this cold, hard winter with very little happening. They bought Christian books. They read about revivals. They read about Murray McShane in Scotland. They tried to encourage themselves. But all around them, everyone says, it won't happen. Nobody wanted to pray. After 2 years praying, at near the end of 1858, the four had become 50. 50 men. Many of them saved, many of them not saved. And they're meeting in the small schoolhouse and they're praying and they're asking God to send a revival and to move. And do you know what happened, saints? The Spirit of God suddenly came to their community. Within literally a few weeks, there were 100 separate prayer meetings being held every single week in barns, in homes, in schoolrooms, in the butcher shop, all being run by members of that church. And that church suddenly became on fire. When this revival hit Ballymena, just a short distance from this little village, it was dramatic and it was sudden. From absolute barrenness and deadness where nobody had got saved for years. One minister testified that he left Ballymena for 2 days to go visit family. When he came back, everything had changed, never to be the same again. Within 2 days, when he left, it was all dead. When he come back, it was all alive. Many families had not gone to bed for 2 or 3 days. Everything seemed to stand still, and the noise of people crying for mercy and singing the praise of God went on all day and all night in the streets of Ballymena. One minister said, it's the difficulty used to be to get people to church. Now the problem is getting them out of church. Large open air meetings were held with 5,000 gathering or 10,000 or 20,000 in the open air to hear the gospel. One person testified, for the last 3 weeks, it has been one continual Pentecost. H.G. Guinness of Ireland, of the famous Guinness family, was one of the main preachers used in that revival. He preached to a crowd of 25,000 on the streets of Belfast. It was a year of revival. Pubs were shut. Within weeks and months, crime dropped to half the level. Distilleries shut down during that revival. Drunkards were converted. Entire churches were changed overnight. Preachers who had not seen a convert in 15 or 20 or 25 years suddenly seen thousands getting born again on the left and the right. Saints, this is all recorded for us, and it's only one revival. The Catholic Church, the priests in the north and the south, began to sell holy water. They sold it, didn't give it away. They began to sell it to their people. And they said, this holy water is to protect you from the revival devil. And they said, but if you go to one of those meetings, not even the holy water will protect you. It will jump on you and you'll become a born again Christian. Saints, I'm telling you what happened in the entire nation. Catholic priests began to cry out against it and called it every sort of wicked name. But in 1859, under the influence of the revival, such things happened that we can't even imagine. A nation was changed. There was one minister in County Down, Drumara, just not far from me. He reported the effects of this. And he began to say, this is what he said, of that year, 1859. You know there's a lot of Protestants in the north with their orange parades. He says there was no party spirit. No orange parade. Wow. No beating of drums. No exclamations. No wickedness towards the Roman Catholics. In Dublin, there was a Catholic writer in a newspaper, and he said, I'll believe this is God when there's no trouble in Belfast at the 12th celebration. That's what he wrote in the paper. He says, I'll believe this is God if there's no riots in Belfast. The 12th come and gone. There was no riots that year for the first time. Revival had come to a nation. Can I tell you as well, 1921, they expected civil war between the North and the South, great bloodshed. The North was on the brink of the most terrible bloodshed in its history. Do you know what's written in our political books? We expected civil war, but God sent a revival in 1921 through a young preacher called Willie Nicholson. W.P. Nicholson, and he went from town to town, seeing 1,000 converts saved in this town, and 2,000 saved in this town, and 1,500, I'm not talking about cities, I'm talking about towns. I'm talking about a generation being impacted by revival. Since I'm telling you about the former and the latter rain that was promised to Israel in a covenant. A covenant was given him. I'm going to give you, if you stay in the land, I'll send a revival. And it'll come at the right time in the right way, as long as you wait for me. It's very sad to say that the teaching of the former and the latter rain has been destroyed in this church generation. And I believe it's the devil. I'm not talking about manifest sons of God. That's heresy. I'm not talking about kingdom now. That's heresy. I'm not talking about all the new revivals. I reject them. Worked up revivals by the hand of man, pushing people over. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your help. He can change a nation when he really comes. We need the real again. It's because we have lost the former and latter rain. We create man-made revivals. You see, when I talk about the former and latter rain, because of the heresy, all the false prophets today talk about the latter rain and latter rain revival. And all these recent false revivals and false prophets, that we're the latter rain movement. I reject that. But I want to tell you, let's not throw out what the Bible does teach. There was a sermon preached in 1860 in the north by a preacher who witnessed this revival. And I've got it at home. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I will read it this week. And he actually preaches an entire sermon on the former and the latter rain. He was living through that revival in the north, and he said, this is the rain that God covenanted to his church. Saints, I want to see it again. I want to get rain back in the church again. It's time for the latter rain. Saints, we need a revival in this church generation. Let me begin to explain here, as this is only the first message in a series to encourage us to pray and to have faith and to believe God for revival, genuine revival. My first point here, you'll say you've said a lot, I know, I've got a lot to say. We'll cut it short, I'll cut across the field if I need to. But I tell you, I've got something to say to you. I want to stir your heart. I want to give you a vision. It's a dark hour. It's an apostate hour. It's a dry day. But I want to encourage you. My first point, the literal rain. See, there's three main words for the rain in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament Bible. The first one is yora or mora, and it means former rain. The second word is geshem, and that means the winter rain. The third word is meltosh, that's the latter rain, and it covers a period of 6 to 7 months in Israel's cycle of rain through the year. But let me take you back to the beginning of the rainy season. This former and latter rain, it's not just spiritual, it is literal. It was happening 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and it's happening today in Israel. There is a yora, geshem, and melkosh. Just before the rainy season begins, when the former rain comes, Israel experiences a long, dry, hot summer. For 5 months, there's no rain. There's not even a shower. There's not even a sprinkle. For 5 months, the entire nation, and that's where they are now, we're just approaching in Israel's calendar, and these guys better get ready for it. In Israel's calendar, we are approaching the former rain. It's the time of the former rain, or the season for the former rain. Do you remember the summer in Ireland? We had one of our hottest summers. Just think of the hottest day and the hottest week that we had this summer. That's what Israel gets just about every day for 5 months, and there's no rain. It is scorching hot. Can you imagine passing through 5 months without even a sprinkle of rain? Then something happens. The former rain comes. At the end of the long hot summer, everybody's dry. They're weary. They're tired. It's hot. It's sticky. Everything is barren. The sand blows in your eyes, your ears, it's in between your toes, it's in your hair, it's everywhere. Saints, it's a dry, barren, hard time, no rain, no revival. But the farmers begin to look for the rain. The preachers begin to look for the rain. Why? Because if the rain doesn't come, we're in trouble. I'm talking about the former rain. The first or former rain is called the autumn rain. And it comes just at the same time as Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles. The farmers are watching for the rain. Why? Because that first rain will soften the ground. It's not a heavy rain. It's not a hard rain. It's not a national rain. It begins to fall lightly in specific spots. And that rain, when that first rain begins to fall, it is a sign, a signal for the ploughmen to start ploughing up the ground and to begin sowing seed like there's no tomorrow. Give all your energy, give all your power, give all of your time to the sowing of seed. This is the early rain. It is beginning to fall, the early rain. It's to soften the ground. Do you know, after 5 months of hard sun, that ground is rock hard. It's solid ground. It is compact. It's dry. But now as that rain begins to fall, oh, what a refresh in that rain. Let me give you an example of this just from a few years ago. I read this on the internet. Listen carefully. This is a lady who moved from America. She was a Jew. She moved from America back to Israel, to Jerusalem. Listen to her explain this. As I sat around the table, the dinner table, with my husband and five children, we contemplated getting up and clearing the table for the dessert. Familiar? Suddenly the lights went out. Losing power where we live is not unusual. It's a normal thing. But as we sat there, relieved that we could put off clearing the table for another few moments, a cold breeze began blowing through the open doors and the windows. Cool breeze. Then came a sound that we had not heard in 5 months. Rain was pattering on the roof and the roofs of our neighbors. Almost in unison, my five children, aged 4 to 14 years old, let out a whoop. Wouldn't you? Aren't we going to when the rain begins to fall? And they ran outside. From the door, my husband and I watched them standing on the brick lane as they opened their arms and they turned their faces skyward, letting the rain soak them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. 5 long months we've never seen the rain. Saints, I'm talking about the latter rain. When this rain comes, what a joyous thing. Oh, rejoice, O land. As a result of this former rain, the harvest begins to grow. The rain begins to fall gently at first. But then it turns into heavier rain, which prepares the ground. This begins in the middle of October. This is the former rain, the time of the former rain. It begins to come in a very real way. And it continues all the way through. That means the seed begins to take root and it germinates. And this rain continues through October, all through the month of November, it falls heavy. Then entering into December, it begins to fall lighter. It's the end of the former rain. It has a beginning, it has an end. That is the former rain. Saints, I'm telling you, what was covenanted to Israel and what's covenanted to the church, it's called the former rain. It's a literal rain that falls in Israel. It happens every year. But secondly, prophetic rain. We have the literal rain. Let's apply it prophetically. Joel chapter 2, 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. No wonder. What are we going to be like, saints? Yeah. We were like those who dreamed.
Yes, amen.
We laughed, not foolish Toronto laughing. I'm telling you, we laugh with the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately or according to righteousness. God has given you the rain. Saints, it's a prophetic promise. Joel is a prophet of God prophesying in Joel 2. It was a dark day he lived in, but he rises up and he begins to prophesy about a former rain that's going to fall moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain. It's a second different word. That's the winter rain. We're going to deal with that. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Notice here that Joel the prophet begins prophesying about coming revival to God's people. Just as rain comes in set seasons to the physical nation, God is going to do this spiritually. There's going to be a former rain. There's going to be a winter rain. Then there's going to be a latter rain. And Joel is prophesying, this is going to happen amongst God's people. What is the former and latter rain? He goes on and explains. Verse 28, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. In those days will I pour out my spirit. There's set days in which God's prophesying. You're going to see the beginning of the latter rain. There's going to be a time, certain days, a time, a season, and I'm going to send the former rain, the first rain, after 400 long years of silence, God was going to do that to Israel. It says in Hosea chapter 6, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, as the former rain, unto the earth. Just as that natural rain falls in Israel, God says, I'm going to send the rain just like I did to Israel, but it's me coming to you, my people. I am going to come in the same seasons, in the same way, to do the same thing, to bring forth the harvest. It says in Jeremiah 5, but this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, and who giveth rain, both the former rain and the latter rain, in his season. Do you know what he's saying? You rebels, you know that I'm a God who wants to give rain. You know I want to send the former rain and the latter rain, but you're a rebel. You're disobeying my commands. You're rebelling against me. You say, why is there no revival? You don't need to look any further than your own heart, your own life, your own way of doing things. Don't point the finger at me. If there is no rain, it's your rebellion, the church. I want to tell you, there's rebellion in the Western church, in Ireland, in England, in Europe, and in America. There is rebellion against God. And it's caused God to shut the heavens. That's why there's no rain falling. Since there ought to be rain. We are living in a nation that's seen many revivals. Wales and Scotland saw more revivals than any nations on the entire planet. Scotland has so many revivals in its history that I've got a friend, he's one of the greatest historists on Scottish revivals. He's done 2 volumes and he's only covered 100 years. Wow. And he's still working. There's short testimonies, 2 thick volumes, because there's so, he's going to be doing it till he's an old man, I assure you. The history of revival is remarkable. But here's Jeremiah saying, because you don't fear God. Yes. If you fear me, if you return to me, I'm a God who wants to send the rain. Do you know God wants to send rain on this church?
Yeah.
Do you know God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit? And saints, only one thing will stop him doing that. There is a season in which we, since we're only here for a short time, if we don't get a revival, this city will go to hell. And we'll lose an entire generation who we've witnessed to, and we've evangelized, and we've preached to, and we've given tracts to, and those who have walked in and sat in our meetings, if we don't see this rain, this former rain, this first rain of this church's history, if we don't see it, we're going to lose an entire harvest. Literal rain, prophetic rain. There's also ritualized rain. Ritualized rain. You say, what's ritualized rain? I've never heard about it before, but I've invented it. I'm going to tell you here. What is ritualized rain? Ritual is what you do in the Catholic Church or in these dead churches. It's ritual. It's outward observation, but no reality. No power. That's ritual. Do you know this rain, the teaching of it in the Bible, you can ritualize it. You can make it into a Jewish ritual. That's what happened. Let me take you forward from the days of Joel to Acts chapter 2, to the day of Pentecost. You're going to say, I know where you're going. No, you don't. Not for this point. The next point you do. Ritualized rain. Remember, this is a biblical teacher teaching everybody in Israel. Every Jew in Jerusalem knows about the former and the latter rain and what the Bible teaches. But listen to me. Let me take you to the day of Pentecost that morning in Jerusalem. And it takes place in late spring, 50 days after the feast of Passover. On that very day, the Jews gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot, or weeks, or the Feast of Weeks, otherwise known as the Feast of Pentecost. 1 million Jews have gathered from many nations, and they're there in Jerusalem, and they're going to celebrate this ritual feast. They know what the Bible teaches. They do this every year. They've come from their own nation. They've heard sermons on it, and they're going through the ritual of Pentecost, or what the Bible talks about. The Jewish festival of Pentecost looked back, and listen to this. When they met on Pentecost, they looked back to when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, the covenant of the latter rain. They look back to that, and at Pentecost they remembered when God came down in power upon the mountain, and it thundered, and trumpets sounded, and lightning was in around it, and the mountain literally trembled, and God gave his law to Moses. You know, when God came down on Mount Sinai, it had been 50 days since Passover when they got out of Egypt. When they got out of Egypt and had the Passover and the lamb was slain, this is 50 days later. God comes down in the mountain in power and he gives them the law and he marries the nation of Israel. This was their marriage day. This was the birth of the nation. And he joins himself in covenant to the entire nation. You see, a period, this word Pentecost means 50th. A period of seven sevens are 49 days. Separated the two feasts of Passover and Pentecost. 49 days separated them. Then you celebrate Pentecost. This is what was happening on the day of Pentecost. They were remembering Sinai. And they called it Pentecost. When God came down. Do you know what happened on that day? 3,000 got killed. At Sinai, 3,000 Jews got killed. They couldn't keep the law. They rebelled against God. And God killed 3,000 of them. But look at Acts chapter 2. This is the feast of Pentecost. The Jews were gathering in the temple. They had been awake all night long, reading the Torah, the Old Testament, the law of God. They'd spent all night long reading the law all across Jerusalem, every home. They've done this. And as they approach the morning all over Israel and Jerusalem, they begin to pray and enter into prayer. And they gather at the temple to pray. This is Pentecost. All the Jews began to gather at temple to celebrate Shavuot. And the high priest and the priests begin to minister and going through their ritual. It was an outward observance of a Jewish festival, which although spiritually taught and accurately kept and carefully followed, had an unanswered inward spiritual manifestation. They were doing it outwardly, but no experience inwardly. How many in the church are like that today? They go through it outwardly, but they've never experienced the power of this. On that day, all these Jews are going through the ritual, the symbol, the picture, the prophecies. They're talking about it, they're praying about it, but they have not experienced it. They know there's prophecies in Joel about it. Pentecost was also the season when the first fruits of the wheat harvest were brought in. The day commenced with prayer, and they begin to give thanks. And they bring their wave offering to the temple. All of the farmers begin to carry up. This is the first fruits of the harvest after the whole rainy season. The former rain has come, the winter rains, now the latter rain, and this is the harvest that's coming in. And these farmers carry their first fruits, the very first crops, they bring them to the temple, and they give it to the high priest, and the priest goes in before God, and he begins to wave the wave offering, the first fruits of the harvest, and he's in there, and it's all ritual, but it's dead. Yeah. It's absolutely dead, and it cannot satisfy the heart. That's ritualized rain. But let me finish with spiritual rain. Spiritual rain. Let me take you down the road from the temple. The high priest, let's leave the high priest there. And all these great multitudes who are gathering to go through the feast. Let me take you just a stone's throw down the road from the temple. To an upper room where 120 are gathered. They are gathered in an upper room at the very same time that this is happening. And look at it. It's 50 days since Passover. It's 50 days since Jesus hung on the cross. It's 50 days since Christ was crucified for sinners. It was Passover. Now, 50 days later, it's Pentecost. And Christ has said, tarry until. Don't you go anywhere. Until you receive. What are we going to receive? Just you wait. Just you wait to see. Better felt than telt, as the old Scots used to say. Here they are in an upper room. And all the prophecies of centuries are about to be fulfilled. God is about to fulfill the feast of Pentecost before their very eyes, in their very midst. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was a set time, it was certain days, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Do you know what that wind was a sign of? Here comes the former rain. Do you hear me? Like that lady, that mother, that breeze blowing through the room, and she, it literally happened, and she says, it's the rain. Here they have been waiting 400 years, no prophet of God. 400 years, no revival in Israel. 400 years and they're abused by their enemies. 400 years and no written scripture. But saints, I'm telling you, on that morning at 9 o'clock, what's that wind, Peter? Says Matthew. Thomas, I don't think it's a wind at all. I think you're imagining. No, I feel a wind. Boy, do you ever. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Saints, 120 men, women, children, old folk, they're all filled. And you know what? Before it happens, they're all sitting. They weren't walking about. They weren't lying on their face. They're all sitting. That's what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, what's that? I can't believe this. It hit them suddenly. Do you know Andrew Murray in South Africa? He says he resisted revival. He resisted these preachers. He was a formalist. And then he said one day he's in the meeting and he said to his wife, what's that noise? And he said it was like a rumbling coming. It was like a big train coming towards the room. And he was shocked. He's gone, they're in the middle of the countryside. It's barren outside. He said, what is that? And he said it was like a train and it hit the building. And he said, all of them were on their faces before the Lord, seeking the Lord. The Lord had come and it was the beginning of revival. Saints, we need the Lord to come again. As the 120 poured out of the upper room, speaking in tongues. You know what the Bible says? They began to speak in tongues in the languages of at least 15 different nations. They were speaking African dialects and Asian dialects and all manners of European dialects. And they begin to speak, and there's people there in the streets, and they're shocked and they marvel and they're stunned by this, and they go, what's happened? It's the former rain, not the latter rain. It's the former rain. God is beginning after a long, dry, hot summer. God is beginning, and it's only a little beginning. And you know what? It's going to soften the ground to receive the seed of God's word. What's the seed? Preach. Yeah. See, as soon as we feel that rain begin to fall here, we're going to go preach. We'll preach like we've never preached. We'll be out all day long and all night long. We'll get up in the morning first thing. Let's go preach on the high street. Why? The rain is beginning to fall. It says that the crowds were shocked. Utterly shocked. What does this mean? Some said they're drunk. You have to be drunk. Peter says, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no bars open. I'm not drunk, but let me tell you what this is. Listen to what Peter said. He said, this is what Joel prophesied. He goes back to scripture and he says, I want to tell you what this is. This is the former and the latter rain. This is the beginning of Pentecost. This is the fulfilling of God's plan for revival in the church. This is the marriage day of the church. This is the birthing of the church. And it's going to begin in a revival. Saints, that day 3,000 were born again of the Spirit of God. 3,000 died at Sinai. 3,000 get born again on the day of Pentecost. God is coming to pour out His Holy Spirit. What is this? It is the former rain. It's what Joel prophesied. It's what the Bible speaks about for the church. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 2. In Joel 2 it says, afterward. In Acts 2 it says, in the last days. Joel prophesied and said, afterwards I'm going to pour my Spirit out. Afterwards, there's a beginning. Afterwards I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Peter in quoting Joel says, in the last days. Do you know Pentecost was the beginning of last days? I thought we're in the last days. No, we're in the last of the last days. Do you realize on the day of Pentecost, it was the beginning of the last days? And we're still in the last days, but we're in the last of the last days. I'm actually telling you how the weather sequence goes for the church. 3,000 were born again as Christ at the right hand of the Father. And please remember this. All revivals come from Christ. It's Christ at the right hand of the Father pours out the Holy Spirit. He is exalted to the right hand. But saints, the day of Pentecost was only the beginning. It was not a complete fulfillment. It is repeatable. It happens again. It's only the beginning of the former rain on the day of Pentecost. It happened again in Acts chapter 8. There was the Samaritan Pentecost. It happened in chapter 10. It was the Roman or the Caesarian Pentecost. In chapter 13, it was the Ephesian Pentecost. The entire book of Acts reveals to us what the former rain looks like. This is the former rain. The latter rain isn't there in the book of Acts. You don't see the latter rain in the book of Acts. This is the former rain. It was only to the Jew. It began with the Jew and began to spread out into every country and every nation. Over the next 300 years, the latter rain continued to fall in many nations. Do you know by the year 800, there were more Christians outside the Roman Empire to the east than there were inside it? Almost no Christians know that. What do I mean to these? See, from Iraq all the way through to Japan and Korea and Nepal, there was revival. There were more Christians in those nations, five and India. I've read the history of it. What happened from the year 300? Revival swept through all of those nations. They had mighty moves of God. And there were more revivals, more preaching, more soul winning than in an entire Roman Empire that was dominated by Rome. You also had St. Patrick of Ireland. It was part of the former reign. When he came as one man to Ireland, Ireland is totally submerged in paganism. Every community is dominated by paganism. 30 years after Patrick comes here as a preacher of the gospel, every single community has born again Christians in it. And for the next 300 years, the Irish church sends missionaries out all across Europe. And they didn't believe in crossing themselves. And they didn't have relics. And they didn't pray to Mary. There was revival in Ireland. It was the former rain. Since not the latter rain, it was the former rain. It's the beginning of the fulfilling of Joel the prophet of what God is going to begin to do. He started at Pentecost, and for several hundred years, the rain, the former rain, kept on falling and spreading out until it come to an end, and then we reached the dark ages where darkness covered the nations. And there's very little history of the gospel. Next time I'm going to deal with the winter rain, because there's a former rain and there's a winter rain. And there's a latter rain. And they're all different words. And we need to look at this. And Peter preaching in Acts chapter 3 and 19. And hear me as we close. He said, repent ye therefore. Do you want this, saints? Do you want rain in this church? Do you want rain in your lives? There's a way to bring this back. Since we haven't had the rain fall in this church, individuals have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Individuals have been healed. People have been born again. But oh God, we need this former rain. In one little beginning of this, 3,000 people can get saved in one day on the high street of Limerick. And Ireland could be changed within months, 3 months. It's happened all over this world. I've got books and books and books on my shelf. The Welsh revival, this revival, that revival. I've got hundreds of books on revivals of what God has done over the world. And he's changed entire nations. And he saved the worst of sinners. And he turned things around. And God is going to do it again, because this Bible predicts it's not over, saints. All these new movements have stolen the term latter rain. But in this series, I'm going to take it back and say, we're praying for the latter rain revival in our generation that's going to change our world. Lord God, come to us again. One last time. Let's please stand here. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It just says in Acts 3, repent ye therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Saints, there's times of refreshing. Set specific times where the Lord's going to come to his church. Do you need a refreshing this morning? As we close, I really believe the presence of the Lord is here, has been here. Saints, do you feel your heart melting? Do you feel the Lord touching you this morning? Did you feel it as we worshipped the Lord this morning? I could have just wept and wept this morning in this gathering. So aware of the Lord. Oh, how far we are from him. Do you know when the Lord comes close, the most spiritual saint is going to suddenly start breaking, realizing, my heart is hard. I'm a rebel against you, Lord. I can deny it. I can excuse it. But my heart's hard. Here this morning, let's lift our hands, this altar's up. But as we close this service, let's reach out. Do you need a refreshing? Do you need strength this morning? Do you need encouraged? Have faith this morning. We are in the time of the latter rain. We are in the days of Pentecost. We're in days in which rains should come. And it's not coming, saints. It hasn't come for a long time. It's not fallen here. And yet God says, I want to send the rain. I want to pour out of my Holy Spirit. I want to pour floods on the dry ground. It's my will for your life. Do you want to experience floods? Do you want to experience the Lord filling you afresh and reviving your heart and stirring you and making you hungry for holiness? I tell you, saints, begin to repent before him. Ask him to melt your hard heart. Let those former rain come. Let the rain come that begins to prepare the ground. You know, here this morning, begin to pray. And I assure you, God can begin to send the rain, that we are prepared for the messages we're going to hear this week, and that our hearts are going to begin to open, that we're going to hear the word of God, that our lives are going to be changed. Never to be the same again. My Lord, my God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Send the rain, O God. Send the rain, O God. Send the rain, O God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the rain, O God. We need the rain, O God. Oh, send us the rain, Lord Jesus. Send us the rain again, O God. Send us the rain. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, will you have your way? Oh, will you have your way? Will you have your way? My God, let your wind blow again. Let your wind blow again on your church, oh God. Oh, God, send the rain in my life. My God, send down the rain. My God, send the rain again, oh God. Oh, send the rain, my God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabbasandara Makiara Masoro Makianda. My God, let your wind blow refresh these lives, O God. My God and my Savior, will you move upon us, O God? Will you melt our hearts? Will you change us, O God? Will you bend us in this place, O God? Will you bend us, O God, as a church? Will you preserve us by your grace and your mercy, O God? My God and my Savior. Oh, Rabasandara Makoria Siara Makiando. Oh, Rabasiara Makoria Sandara Makiara Mason. Lord, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, let your glory come again, my Father. Oh, Rabasandara. We praise you, our God. Jesus.